Prophecy is a powerful weapon, and it's something that we as Christians should really get hold of. It's sad that it's so badly neglected nowadays, that we're not doing it. You see, we believe that we are living right at the end of time. We're living at the end of the age. We are seeing the prophecies being fulfilled. Now, I've spoken about these prophecies like this, but there's one extra here, which is even, to me, even more powerful. When Napoleon, he was in, after he'd been defeated at Waterloo, and he was on the island there, somebody came up to him and asked him, he said, "Why do you believe the Bible? Why do you believe in Christianity? Why do you believe that?" He gave two words: the Jew. What do you mean by that? The story of the Jew is an amazing story, right the way through, from right at the beginning, from Abraham, 2000 BC, that's 4,000 years ago, as you follow it through. You follow it through the scriptures. What happened to them? They were warned before they went into the promised land what would happen, and it did. 586, they were taken into captivity. Exactly, God said this would happen to them. They were prophesied that they would stay in captivity for 50 years, just as hundreds of years before the time Isaiah had prophesied. Then it was prophesied at the end of it that Cyrus would come along and rescue them. They go back to the land. Again, prophecy, again and again. And this goes right the way through, all the way through. But let's go a bit further, get a bit nearer our own time. The prophecy, exactly what would happen on Calvary's cross, and what the fact that the Jews would reject their Messiah. And what did God say? "When they reject my Messiah, I will scatter them. When they turn against me, I will scatter them throughout the world." That was partially fulfilled, began in AD 70. When they rebelled against the Romans, and Titus came along, and he completely destroyed Jerusalem, and the terrible times they had there. There was over 1 million people they reckon they killed. They crucified so many of them they ran out of wood. Just as it was prophesied. Daniel, incidentally, prophesied in Daniel 9 that this was going to happen after the flood will come over Jerusalem. But that wasn't the end of it. About 63 years, I think it was, later, they rebelled again against the Roman Empire. And this time, it was Hadrian. He came along and he said, "Well, Titus, you didn't do the job properly. I'm going to finish these off forever. I'm going to completely destroy them." So what he did, he came in and he did. He completely destroyed the land. He took every Jew out of the land. He says they sold them like cattle in cattle markets. They cleared the lot out. The only ones that did survive were those that hid in caves and that. Everybody else, and Jerusalem itself, as prophesied hundreds of years before, he caused the plow to go over the temple area. That would have been prophesied. He was going to make certain they're completely wiped out. And actually what he did after that, he built a temple of his own to Jupiter, I think it was, on top. He was going to absolutely destroy the Jews. Now you imagine what would happen. And they were spread throughout the whole world. They were taken right out the area, all over the place. They were forbidden to go back. They were forbidden on pain of death to ever again enter Jerusalem. Now you would think, well, if that happened to them, what hope have they ever got to survive? They must all disappear. This is what happened down through the ages when similar things have happened to other people. They very soon get assimilated and you forget where they are. I always think about my sister. She went to America when she was just, I was just 21. 60 years. And nowadays, you can't tell her she's an American. She's got the drawl and everything. She's an American. Now, the same thing should, by all accounts, happen to the Jews. But what did God say? Again and again, he promised them, I'm going to bring you back. I'm going to bring you back in your land. You will come back. Impossible. Now, I've got the advantage over you, because I went to school between the two world wars, and I can remember what was happening in Palestine. Oh, where was that? Nobody really knew what it was. It was just some place in the Middle East there. Nobody was interested in it. What hope would the Jews have of getting back in their own land? There was a Balfour Declaration after the First World War, but that was renegated on by the British. They had no hope whatsoever. It's impossible. But we have witnessed this amazing event. 1948, you saw, or I did, you're too young, but I saw the prophecies that God said would happen. I saw them actually take place. After all those hundreds, thousands of years, they're back now as a sovereign nation. That is an amazing event. And it also said that they'll never again leave my country. Nobody is ever again going to take them out. Read the account of their history. Read the account of the Six-Day War. See, tiny little Israel. You see how small that is there, with all these great armies and states around them. But have they tried it? They've sworn they're going to try and push them to the sea. They'll never do it, because God has said they're not going to do it. But God has said something else. In the scriptures, he said they would go back in unbelief. They have gone back in unbelief. 90% of the Jews in Israel are either atheists or humanists. They do not recognize, they don't believe what the scriptures say about them. But that's the point. God has brought them back, and they're going to go through the time of Jacob's trouble. He's brought them back for a reason. That is the great tribulation that is yet to come to them. That's what's facing them now. Now you can see how important all this is. We can see, yes, I must finish soon, sorry. I did ask for plenty of time, I'll probably run over a bit. But this is extremely important that we should understand this. We are living in the end of time. We're seeing prophecy after prophecy fulfilled. And the Jews is one of the most amazing prophecies of all time. Now you might say, now I have to finish up quickly here, I'd like to say a lot more, but how does this affect me? What does all this affect me? Now there was a philosopher named Voltaire, and he said, if I believed there was a God, I wouldn't stop serving him for one moment, night or day. What's he saying? You're a bunch of hypocrites, you Christians. You say you believe all this, but why don't we see the action here? Why are you living what you are? If I really believed there was a God, I wouldn't cease serving him for one moment, night or day. And that's a lesson for each one of us. And what did we read in about the seven churches in the Revelation? What did God say? He said, Laodicea, I would rather you be cold or hot. You are lukewarm. And because you're like that, I'm going to sick you up. You're an abomination in my sight. And that's the sad state of most Christians today. If we're not living on fire for the Lord, if we're not absolutely believing, acting as we believe what the Word of God says, that's what we're like. Now, I must finish now because I've gone way over my time now. But I think I've given you a lot of subjects to start thinking about. And perhaps, can I just close in prayer now? Father, I thank you for the time you've allowed us to spend like this around your word. I pray for each one of us. Lord, you know every single heart here. You know everything about us. There's nothing hid from your sight. Help us, Lord, that we may really take hold of all this and realize what a wonderful book you have, this Bible here. It's your living word. And I pray, Lord, that each one of us, we may really feed on the living word and that we might live as you want us to. Lord, we realize that if we live like this, we would shake this area around us, Lord, and we'd know that others would see you in us. All we want to do, Lord, is to be your witnesses on this earth. Please, Lord, guide us and lead us. Let none of us go away from this meeting without that chance of knowing you in that very real and personal way. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful time we've had, allowed to have in your presence. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.